Dear Sangha, dear friends, Christmas is a time when we want to be home. Many of us do not have a home. Many of us yearn to have a home where we find comfortable to be. Many of us are looking for a home. Jesus, as a young man, was also looking for a home. He said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the sky have nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head on." He was without a home. He was searching. And if you are a young person like Jesus and looking for home, you are very much in his situation. We are very close to him than you may think. He was a refugee, very tiny. He did not have a home. He was looking for home. And many of us don't feel that we have already had a home. We are looking. The Buddha also was looking for home. He was not comfortable in the palace. He was a prince. He was supposed to become a king. And he had everything, wealth, power, beautiful woman. But he did not feel at home. That is why he left. Went away and find his true home. That those of us who have found our true home, they are comfortable in the here and the now. They don't want to go anywhere else. They don't think about the future. The present is comfortable enough. And those of us who have found out to whom we do not want to look for anything else. When I met Martin Luther King for the first time, 44 years ago, we were very young, both of us, 44 years ago. Some of you had not been born before that. We met in Chicago. And we discussed about community. He was trying to build a home. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He called that organization and the community that he wanted to build, the beloved community, La Communauté Bien-Aimée. We discussed about Sangha building. When I was a young monk, my deepest aspiration is to build a loving Sangha. So our aspiration was very much the same. We wanted to build a Sangha because we had the impression that Sangha is our home. If you have a Sangha, if you have found a Sangha, if you belong to a Sangha, if you flow with the Sangha like a river, you have a home. Jesus did found a Sangha. Founded his Sangha. It's not a very big one, but it was a Sangha. And that Sangha, after Jesus was passing away, had a difficult time continue Sangha building. They had to build the Sangha underground, and yet they succeeded in building a Sangha. The Buddha, after enlightenment, thought of building a Sangha right away. So he went to Benares to join his five co-practitioners who had left him. And he built the first Sangha. 6 persons. In French, the community of monks is called une fraternité, brotherhood. A Sangha is a group of people who are capable of generating brotherhood, sisterhood, love, and who have the intention, the aspiration to transform their own suffering and to help the world transform the suffering. And the Sangha of Jesus, the Sangha of the Buddha, had the same kind of aspiration. At the time I met Martin Luther King, I had left my Sangha home. I thought that I would come to the West for a few months and go home. But it turned out that I had to stay 40 years without a Sangha. Friends, brothers and sisters, co-practitioners were in Vietnam. I went to the West alone with intention to hold on efforts to end the hostility in Vietnam. And that's what the governments in Vietnam, the 2-3 governments, did not like. Calling for peace. So because of my open call for peace, I was not allowed to go home. And I spent 39 years abroad without a Sangha. But somehow I had the Sangha in my heart. That is why when I heard that I'm not allowed to go home, well, I start looking around elements to find a Sangha here. Without a Sangha, I could not survive. The Sangha is like a beehive. Every bee is working for the same well-being, the well-being of the whole beehive. Every bee is a cell of the body of the bee Sangha. If you belong to a Sangha, you are a cell of the Sangha body. Sangha body, Sangha Kaya, is a term used in Bangladesh. In the Buddhist literature, we speak a lot about Buddha body, Dharma body, but not Sangha body. Sangha body is a term invented by Bangladesh. And we think that is a very important term. The Sangha is a body, your body. Let the whole Sangha chant as one body. Listen as one body. Breathe as one. Listen as one body. And breathe as one body. Flow, we flow like a river. And if we can do that, we have found our true home. When Martin Luther King was assassinated, I was still young when he was assassinated. I was in New York. I said, I have to continue the work. I have to build a Sangha. That is in 1960. We met in 1966, and he was assassinated a few years later. The last time we met is was in Geneva. Both of us attended a conference on peace called Pace Mundialis, Peace on Earth. I stayed in the ground floor, and he stayed up on the 11th floor. And he invited me one morning to come and have breakfast with him. I was caught in a press conference and came late, and he kept his breakfast, the breakfast warm for me. And I said, "Dear Martin, the people in Vietnam know about you and your work here. They call you a Bodhisattva. He was very pleased to hear that. And I'm happy that I had the opportunity to tell him that, because a few months later, he was assassinated. So the time I spent in the West is devoted to Sangha building. You are there as members of my Sangha. My Sangha is a little bit everywhere now. And I feel very comfortable. I feel at home. I feel home. Sitting here, I feel very at home, because I belong to my Sangha. I am a cell in the Sangha body. I don't have to look for anything else. Although Martin is a Christian, I am a Buddhist, but we do very much the same thing. Our effort is to build a Sangha, because we know without Sangha, we cannot be anything, we cannot do anything. All Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all prophets, feel the need of building a Sangha. They know very well Sangha. His home, Sangha, is the hope. When a bee is isolated from the beehive, it will dry up and die. A bee should always be with the bee sangha. So when I left the country, I was like a bee cut off from the beehive. I knew, but I was capable of seeing the Sangha in my heart. I did not dry up because I had the Sangha in my heart. And because I had the Sangha in my heart, it was possible for me to build a Sangha around me again. There were not Buddhists around at that time. So I sat with Quakers, Christians, and others. I played with children. I contemplated the trees, listened to birds, enjoy flowers that are so different from things in a tropical country. And I'm trying to make everything elements of my Sangha. I practice walking meditation in Paris, Jardin des Plantes, Bois de Boulogne, Bois de Vincennes. I play with children in Germany, England, France. And I make friends. We organize sitting sessions. We discuss about how to have peace in ourselves and in the world. We set up an office in Paris and work for the cessation of the war in Vietnam. And many young people came and helped us. We had an office in Paris, number 11, Rue de la Goutte. And young people from many countries came and volunteered to help with the peace work. And we practiced sitting meditation, walking meditation. And I wrote The Miracle of Mindfulness in English, in Vietnamese, and translated into English. It became the first manual of engaged Buddhism in the West. The Miracle of Mindfulness. Finally, you were able to offer retreats of mindfulness. A little bit everywhere, in Europe, in North America, in Asia. And the Sangha continue to grow. In the beginning, the Sangha seemed to be outside of you. The Buddha also. We ought also to be outside. With beginners, God is up there, outside. The Buddha is outside. But if we practice well enough, and then very soon we feel that the Buddha is not out there, he is inside, he is in your heart. In the refugee that you see in the Plumlish chanting book, you begin with, I take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in this life. But you end up with taking refuge in the Buddha in myself. The Buddha is well in yourself. The Buddha land also. And we found out that Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha are not only outside around you, but inside of you. So it is possible for you to travel with the three jewels in your heart. I believe that because of that, I did not dry up as a bee, separated from the behind, because I had the Sangha in my heart, the Buddha in my heart. That is why I was not discouraged during my work to help end the war. I could build up a Sangha in the West. It was very joyful. In 1995, I was allowed to go home for the first time after 39 years. They needed to show that the country is open enough, so I was able to go home. And 300 members of my Sangha in the West joined me in that trip. It's a very joyful trip. I came back with 300 members of the Sangha. And we toured the country. We offer Dhamma talks. We offer retreats. We met with hundreds of thousands of young people. And in the last 5 years, it's about 500 young monastics were ordained in the tradition of Plum Village in Vietnam. So many young people came and joined the Sangha and see the hope and the brotherhood, the sisterhood. A real Sangha always carries within itself the energy of love, the energy of brotherhood, sisterhood, hope, and compassion. The young people are attracted not by Dhamma talks, but by that spirit of energy of brotherhood, sisterhood generated during the time they encounter with members of the Sangha. So building the Sangha, generating the energy of compassion, brotherhood, sisterhood, is a very beautiful thing to do. And if you are doing that, You have a home. If I feel at home now, it's very clear that because I have a Sangha, I have you as my Sangha. The Buddha was able to build a good Sangha, a beautiful Sangha. The Buddha was lucky. I'm also very lucky. The last rain retreat of the Buddha was in the vicinity of Vaishali, a city north of the Ganges River. And during that time, he got very sick. And Ananda was his assistant. And Ananda went to the wood and cried a lot. He believed that he's going to lose his teacher. But finally, the Buddha regained his health. And after the rain retreat, he began to visit different groups of his Sangha around the city of Vaishali. And he gave many small Dhamma talks, 5 minutes, 10 minutes Dhamma talk, recorded in the Tripitaka. He visited many groups of bhikshus, bhikshunis, lay practitioners, and tell them to take refuge. In the island of self, outer home. Outer home is within, in our heart. When you practice mindful walking, mindful breathing, you generate the energy of mindfulness. You go home to the here and the now. And with our touch, we touch the true home, our true home inside. The indication is very clear. Our true home should be look in that direction, inside. In Plumlish, every time you hear the bell, you practice stopping. You stop thinking, talking, and you go back to your in-breath and out-breath. And you practice going home to yourself. Listen, I listen. This wonderful sound of the bell brings me back to my true home. My true home is here and now. The Buddha said that there is a safe island within each one of us. And if we want to have solidity, freedom, peace, joy, we have to go back to that true home. That is the island of self, the island inside. The Pali term is Atta Dipa. Atta means self. And Dipa means the island. Dipa also means the torch, the light. Take refuge in the light, in yourself. Take refuge in the island, in yourself. And there, you have the Buddha, you have the Dharma, you have the Sangha, you have all your ancestors, and even your descendants are already there. It is in the here and the now, within yourself. And that is the main teaching of the Buddha during that period of time. He went around Vaishali and he gave that Dharma talk. He knew that after his passing away, many monks, nuns, and lay disciples will miss him. They feel without a teacher. So he wanted to tell them that the teacher is inside. The Buddha is inside of you. The Dharma also, and the Sangha also inside. In Plum Village, you have many songs written in the form of verses, gathas, to practice, breathing in and breathing out. There is one poem that goes like this, breathing in. I know that the Buddha is my mindfulness. Mindfulness is the Buddha. And mindfulness is something that shines, that shines, that allows you to see what is happening. Mindfulness allows you to see that you are there alive. You are breathing in, you are breathing out. And you can celebrate life. And mindfulness is the real Buddha. Mindfulness is the energy that makes a person into a Buddha. When you are inhabited by the energy of mindfulness, you are a Buddha. Because Buddha means mindful. Someone is mindful, someone who is awake, someone who is truly there in the here and the now, fully alive, fully present. And mindfulness is the energy that makes you fully alive, fully present in the here and the now. Mindfulness goes with concentration and insight. Mindfulness allows you to see that you are alive, you are here and now. And to see that you are alive, you are in the here and the now, that is already insight. Mindfulness can go and produce insight right away. With mindfulness, you are concentrated and you know what is there. What is there that you are there, alive, and you can walk on this planet and enjoy every step. You can breathe in and contemplate the blue sky or the snow. A Buddha is very close. When you are awake, when you are mindful, when you are fully present, when you can get in touch with the wonders of life, you are very close to being a Buddha. You are a Buddha. If we think in that way, all of us are part-time Buddhas. Part-time Buddhas. There are moments when we are carried away by forgetfulness, anger and fear. And there is a moment we are not Buddha. But if we go back to ourselves, and become alive again, yeah, Buddha again. So it's easy to see that the Buddha is inside. He's available in the here and now. The same thing is true with Jesus Christ. We talk about the living Jesus. That's true. In the beginning of the talk, we said that we are not very far from Jesus. We are very close to Him. And we are Him. He was searching for whom? And we are searching for whom? He's a kind of refugee. We are also a kind of refugee. He did not feel that He has a home. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. It's very clear. So the energy of mindfulness allows you to go home, to see that everything you are looking for is only there, including the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, your true home. And with that, the enlightenment comes, the insight comes, that you don't have to run and look for your true home anywhere else. It is already there. Jesus called Himself the Son of Man. And sometimes He called God Father. And Christians believe that Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. All of us are children of the earth. The Buddha, Siddhartha, Gautama can be seen also as a child of the earth. You and I, we are all children of the earth. That is very clear. At least we agree on that. We are all children of the earth and of the sky. So if Jesus is also the Son of Man, the Son of the earth, a child of the earth, He is our brother. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus. We can address Him as brother. The Buddha also, He is a child of the earth. And we can call the Buddha our brother. But the Buddha help us to touch the ultimate. He said, Nirvana is a place Nirvana is the greatest kind of joy and happiness. And Nirvana is available in the here and the now. In the Agamas, we hear we see the expression Dhamma Ditta Nibbana, Drista Dharma Nirvana. It means Nirvana in the here and the now. And there is a sutra on that. There is a monk asking him, "Dear teacher, what is Nirvana in the here and the now?" And he said, "When we have transformed all our afflictions when we have overcome illusions like the illusion about self, well, we touch Nirvana in the here and the now. There's no dualistic thinking anymore. There's no despair, no hate, no separation anymore. And absence of afflictions means the presence of Nirvana. Nirvana, Nibbana, was before the Buddha, a term used by the people in the countryside. It means cooling down. When it's not burning anymore, when it becomes cool, pleasant, it's Nibbana. When it's burning, if you put your hand in it, it will burn your hand. So when the fire of hate, the fire of violence, the fire of anger, the fire of ignorance is burning, there's no Nirvana. But when you can extinct, you can put down the fire of afflictions that is cooling, and cooling down is Nirvana. And Nirvana is possible in the here and the now if you know how to extinct, to put out the fire of afflictions. And that is the teaching of the Buddha. It means helping to experience Buddha, to experience Nirvana in the here and the now. In the Dhammapada, Chinese version, there's a beautiful gatha. It goes like this. The deers like to go back to the field. The birds like to go back to the sky. And the wise people like to stay in Nirvana. Because Nirvana is the supreme happiness. Nirvana is like the sky for the birds. The field for the deers. And where do you find Nirvana? Many teachers told us Nirvana is the world of no birth and no death, no discrimination, no hate. And Nirvana is not a separate place. When a Zen student came and asked a teacher where to find the realm of no birth and no death, and he said that you find it right in the realm of birth and death. If you think a little bit, we see that the realm of samsara, the realm of suffering, of burning, and the realm of Nirvana, they are not two separate entities. It is like a wave, and the water that make up the wave. A wave may may be scared with the ideas of beginning, ending, going up, going down, higher, lower, more or less beautiful, existing or not existing. That is the afflictions of a wave. But as far as water, there is no worry, there is no suffering at all. And it is possible for the wave to go home to herself and touch the water within her. If the wave can touch the water within her, all afflictions, all fear, all discrimination will vanish. All ideas like being or non-being, more or less beautiful, will vanish. So there is the historical dimension represented by the wave, and the ultimate dimension represented by water. And the practice the Buddha recommended is for us to go home and touch the ultimate, and touch the no birth and no death, right in the realm of birth and death. Because the wave does not have to go very far to look for water. She is water in the here and the now. And practitioners don't have to go to another place to find nirvana. Nirvana is within himself or herself right away. So the Buddha, Siddhartha, is a child of the world of birth and death, but is also a child of the ultimate of nirvana. And Jesus also, while he is the Son of Man, he is also the Son of God. And God is the ultimate dimension. God is the ground for all manifestations. And living in nirvana is like resting in God. And that is possible right in the here and the now. We may distinguish between sky and earth, heaven and earth. But Air France has a very beautiful advertisement. They say something like, Faire du ciel le plus beau endroit sur terre, de la terre. To make the sky the most beautiful spot of earth. So we should use our non-dualistic insight in order to examine the historical and the ultimate. The ultimate is not something separated from the historical. If we must find nirvana in samsara, and then we must find heaven on earth. It's not up there. That's dualistic thinking. It's right here. In this world of birth and death, coming and going, you can touch the ultimate. You can touch the Father. You can touch the heaven. And that is why in Plum Ridge we say the kingdom is now or never. And God is not up there sitting on a cloud. God is right there in your heart. God is the ultimate. God is your true nature of no birth, no death. The ultimate aim of a practitioner is to touch the unborn, the no birth and no death. And some Christian mystics have been able to to achieve that. They are able to see things in the non-dualistic way. They can experience God in the here and the now, in themselves. They don't look for heaven, the kingdom, elsewhere and in the future. You don't need to die in order to go into the kingdom of God. It may be too late. In fact, you have to be very alive in order to step into the kingdom. And in the light of Buddhist practice, in order to be alive, you need only to breathe in mindfully and make a step mindfully, generating the energy of mindfulness, and mindfulness make you alive, fully present, fully alive. And when you are fully present, fully alive, you make one step and you enter the kingdom. You are always in the kingdom. You don't know that. So if we are in a crisis, spiritual crisis, because we don't know how to put God and the kingdom back in the right place. It is inside. Our true home is already there inside. And that is the kind of teaching that helps us to find our true home. Peace is possible. Brotherhood, sisterhood, love is possible. And in my experiences, building a Sangha is the process. And we build a Sangha not by using a computer or a telephone, but using building Sangha by breathing in mindfully, breathing out mindfully, and to learn to smile, to touch peace, the peace and the compassion and the love that are already in us. And by doing so, we can connect with other people around us. And together we build a happy community, a beloved community. Jesus and Buddha are brothers, both in the historical dimension and in the ultimate dimension. We also are brothers and sisters of Buddha and Jesus, both in the historical dimension and in the ultimate dimension. And there are plenty of teaching in the gospel that can help us to see that. Tonight, we shall have an opportunity to sit together as a Sangha, quietly. There will be a time when we hear the church bell ringing. And let us sit in such a way that we feel that we are a cell in a Sangha body that will bring a lot of happiness. I am a happy person because I have a Sangha. And I hope that every one of us will feel the same. Merry Christmas to everyone.